Our first scripture this morning is from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 to 31. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is the wise person? Where is the teacher of the law? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand signs and Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. Brothers and sisters, think of what you were called. Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of the world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. And from the fifth chapter of Matthew, verses 1 through 12. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and he sat down. His disciples came to him and he began to teach them. And he said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. As I shared that scripture this morning, it was dawning on me that only a few months ago in October, I had the opportunity to be in the Mediterranean region. And one of the places I got to visit was the village of Corinth, which was the first reading I read, was to the community at Corinth, the Corinthians. It is ruins. There is no community. It's just ancient ruins. Oh, there is a modern town nearby, but the city of 2,000 years ago is no longer. And yet the word of God continues on. And it continues to speak to us, to remind us of God in our hearts. The other one that kind of occurred to me as I was reading what we commonly call the Beatitudes, There is a wonderful scene. Any of you Monty Python fans? A few, okay. In the movie The Life of Brian, there is a wonderful scene of Jesus teaching the Beatitudes. And Brian and his family are clear up on the top of the hill, up at the way back of the crowd, where they can hardly hear what Jesus is saying. And they hear him say, "Blessed are the peacemakers." And they look each other and say, "Did he say, blessed are the cheesemakers?" Now, what's even funnier about that line by itself is funny enough, but when you discover that if you go to Jerusalem, Jerusalem has three significant valleys, one to the east, over which you go across that valley to get to the Mount of Olives. You've got one on the left, which it leads you to one of the traditional sites of what the garden tomb may have been like. But there is one valley that basically ends at the southern wall of the city. It's the Tyrophoenician Valley. And as I understand it, the translation of Tyrophoenician is Valley of the Cheesemakers. So somebody did some good study work on that passage. But that's not what I'm going to talk about today. Jesus is now surrounded with his disciples of his choosing. There's also a larger crowd that's gathered around. They're curious. They want to see what this guy is all about. And Jesus sits there now beginning to train them. Now, for those familiar with the Bible, the training lesson is known as the Sermon on the Mount. The Beatitudes are a part of that. And today we're just looking at that first 12 verses contained in that teaching. We get to listen in as Jesus is instructing his disciples and the growing crowd of people who are coming out to hear him speak and to receive healing. Now, as we listen to his teaching, for these first disciples, he'll be teaching us too. Now, when I first saw this passage for this week, I have to say that there are some other memories that came back to my mind. It was one of the first passages I preached while I was in seminary. And the day I preached it, I was going to a memorial service that afternoon for a seminary friend, Loretta Retzer, who had died earlier that week. I knew that day what it was to mourn. I also knew what it was to be comforted. I think also of a colleague when asked how he is doing, responds, "I'm too blessed to be stressed." That's a great way to live life, too blessed to be stressed. And in this day and age where we have the phenomena of social media of all kinds, Facebook, Instagram, X, Snapchat, and others that I have no clue and probably neither do you, part of that movement has something about it called a hashtag. Now, I realize there are some of you in the room who probably don't do any social media or anything with the internet, so let me tell you what a hashtag is. For those of us older in the room, it's what we called the pound symbol. And so they would add that hashtag to a word or phrase as they make a post, and there's a place on the internet where you can go to see everything that's been posted around that hashtag. It gathers all of those postings together. A popular one is hashtag blessed. In fact, there's a lot of sports references associated with the tag. A night I've always dreamed of. Tonight is my homecoming playing the Titans. Hashtag blessed. 5 catches, 136 receiving yards, 3 touchdowns on my senior night. Hard work paid off. Hashtag blessed. Blessed to receive an offer from the University of North Carolina, Hashtag blessed. This year we could fill any number of sports teams in on that line. I'm very excited for the next year. Blessed to be a part of the rugby team. Hashtag blessed. But it isn't just about sports stars. It's about all kinds of people. Happiness is finding leftover Chipotle in the fridge that you've forgotten you had. Hashtag blessed. As long as I was able to encourage, inspire at least one person, then I did what I was supposed to do. Hashtag blessed. Thank you, God, for all the blessings. Hashtag blessed. Even the upper room tweeted, be a blessing each and every day. Hashtag blessed. Stars express their opportunities to be in movies, on television, and in concert, as they all post, hashtag blessed. Families starting and ending vacations are feeling blessed. I've been on some of those vacations where you're just as glad it's over as you were to go on it. Hashtag blessed appears for babies being born, for Starbucks drive-through, and for getting an extra McNugget at McDonald's. What a way to even the playing field. All hashtag blessed. But one thing is clear about all these associations with hashtag blessed. That's not what Jesus meant. You see, when Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven, he isn't making a statement of cause and effect. Jesus isn't saying, you're blessed with the kingdom of heaven because you're poor in spirit. He isn't saying you are being blessed with comfort because you are in mourning. What Jesus is doing here is pronouncing a blessing on the people that have gathered. He's given a blessing to all the people who came to hear. He is blessing them for a purpose. And he is meeting them right in the midst of all the things that are going on in their lives. Jesus is blessing them to think differently about the way the world works because of what he is teaching and doing. Jesus is describing how we are to live as God's people, not simply by calling attention to the many ways God blessed, but, well, as the Upper Room's tweet put it, be a blessing each and every day. He's reminding us of what our purpose is, to join in that blessing by becoming a blessing. It was a radically new teaching for the people in Jesus' day. In the ancient world, just like today, there are many people who believe strongly in cause and effect. They believed that if they were good people who followed God's commandments, worked hard, and tried to do their best in all circumstances, God would reward them with good health, food to eat, stable jobs, happy families, and prosperity. To which I want to say, and how'd that work for you? Because likewise, they believed that God punished the sinful with illness, with poverty, with imprisonment, with blindness, with divorce, and other personal tragedies. Well, that's not my experience of the world. Yet there are people who believe it. I find, strangely, that there are things that I see people who have lived excellent, good, full lives have been swept away by such tremendous pain and hurt in their lives. And yet, they're still blessed. And on the other hand, I've seen some people that are pretty evil that seem to be yet enjoying blessings. Many people believe that God even punishes entire populations through war, through famine, through droughts, through other disasters. I mean, obviously, that thinking would lead us to realize that the South that has been swept by ice storms must be living terribly sinful lives. course, we live with that almost every winter. If a man was sick, if one was mourning, if one was poor in spirit or starving or persecuted, it was their own fault because they must be sinning. A woman who suffered did so as the consequences of her own bad behavior because suffering was understood as a punishment for sin. But Jesus is saying to us, it doesn't work like that. Not in the kingdom of God. It isn't that we are to feel hashtag blessed when something goes our way, but when things don't go our way, that doesn't mean God is punishing us either. God's kingdom is a whole different playing field. Jesus blesses everyone who has gathered, no matter who they are and no matter what they have done. God's blessing in Christ is not just for the righteous ones. God's blessing is not just for certain religious groups or certain genders or certain cultural or racial groups. God's blessing is not just for those who are pure, for those who go to church and give to charities and treat people with kindness. And God's blessing is not evidenced by a big bank account or a fancy title or a luxury home. In this new kingdom that Jesus is showing us, God blesses the saints and the sinners alike. Jesus offers a blessing on the poor in wallet and the poor in spirit. He blessed the blind, the lame, the imprisoned, the outcast. He blessed the leper and the prostitute. He blesses the murderer and the thief and the adulterer. He blesses the Jews and the Christians, the Muslims, the Hindus, the Buddhists, and the Baha'i. He blesses the Democrats and Republicans and even the independents alike. In Christ, God's blessing does not discriminate. God's blessing is for all. God's blessing is for you. God's blessing is for me. And that's good news. It means that no matter what you are or what you have done, you are blessed and you are welcomed into God's family, and there is nothing you can do ever to lose God's love, affirmation, and blessing. Being blessed is our identity. Being blessed is our condition. Being blessed is who we are because of God's saving love that's been shown to us in Jesus Christ. In Jesus' first teaching, he is telling us clearly, look around you. These people in the crowd that have gathered that day near the shores of the Galilean lake, these people who live down the street and let their kids run wild, these people who don't work and are collecting welfare, these people who are in jail for dealing drugs, these people who got pregnant out of wedlock and now want an abortion, these people who are members of a gang, these people who are members of a white supremacist group, these people who sit in judgment, these people who, well, I think you get the idea. Jesus is telling us, as he tells his disciples, all of these people are blessed. We who call ourselves disciples, followers of Jesus Christ, need to not just understand this, but we need to live it out by our words and by our actions. We are blessed in order that we may be a blessing to others each and every day. Can you hear him now? Can you hear Jesus speaking to you? You are blessed. Now be a blessing to others today, tomorrow, and the day after that, and all the days after that. Why? Because you are blessed. You are blessed. You are blessed. And all of God's people said, Amen.